Hi, Jacques. How are you?
Hi, fine. And you?
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, you're still in Holland?
No, I came back Sunday night. So, adapting to the
Oh,
jet
yeah.
lag, helping my son adapt to the jet lag.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So I see
Yeah.
Wyman has now joined us as well. Hi, Wyman.
Hi, hi, Fenka. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm fine, thank you. So you're
Good.
settled back home?
Yes, I am.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's good to be back, definitely.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So Dennis, I see, is joining us as well. Hi, Dennis.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, doing well.
Great.
So it's almost 9 o'clock, 1 minute to go. So, let's get started. So, we'll start with some questions, and then I would like to ask you some questions, like I stated in my email, because I'm really curious as to, like, you know, in order to be able to help you better in the future, like what goes on internally for you when you are doing a coaching session and when it's like when you find it challenging to pick up on, like, okay, what is it specifically that we need to be working on here? So, but let's start with some questions, and you can just, since we're a small group anyway, you can just start talking and share your question.
I've got a question.
Okay.
How would you coach a person who has a very strong mismatching metaprogram?
Someone who has a very strong mismatching metaprogram, like it depends, they might not yet be able to be, they might not yet be coachable.
Okay.
So they might, one of the things I think with mismatches is the question is are they mismatching themselves? Are they mismatching you as a coach? Because if they're mismatching themselves, you can help them become aware of it. If they're mismatching you as a coach, you can also help them become aware of it. But I think you need to kind of get them to step back from it in any case, because otherwise you're going to be doing a whole lot of hard work and you're not getting too much. So confronting is really critical in this situation. Yeah.
Okay,
Okay, so any other questions? So I see Jacques, you have a question.
thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to, because I've often heard this word of mismatching. Can you explain it for me? Because it's not clear for me.
Okay, so if mismatching is putting your attention to what's missing, what is not there, what is different. And so the way that you might see that in a coaching session, if your client is mismatching you might give feedback, and their initial response without even thinking about it is no, that's not true, or no, that's not right, or they'll say something and then they about themselves, and then they start to mismatch that.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
So
Now it's clear.
essentially, yeah, okay. Sounds good. I see Hasse and Victoria have joined us in the meantime as well. So welcome. And right now we're just going through questions. So if you have any questions, you can just open your mic and share.
It's Victoria.
Hi,
Hi.
Victoria.
Hi. Last time we talked a little bit about cracking the code,
Yeah.
To get the what right.
Mm-hmm.
And now I was in a training yesterday too, and we just discussed it again, and I can see that some of the other coaches has learned a lot from getting the ACMC revisited in Norway this time, so that was good to hear and see.
Yeah.
And they were really focusing on how important the supporting part is, to get everything in the supporting part right, in order to sort of get the right beginning, get the foundation right.
Okay, and what do you mean with that?
So about getting the clarity, making sure you have the right support, you have the you need to have the right level of empathy in order to support your client enough to get to the right what. And to really to get that movie clear, to get that clear enough to go through the rest of the process. And now I've been reading about supporting again, and I don't know if can you do you support that point of view that one of them even said that the reason the skills are put up in that sequence for a reason, because the supporting is so important, that's why it's number one benchmark skill.
Yeah.
Have you thought more about it since the last time, or do you have?
Oh yes, almost constantly.
Yeah. Oh shit! Sorry.
No, I think it's really good, and personally, I think yes, supporting is critical, but I think there is much more at play than that. So when we talk about supporting, and this is something that we did during the ACMC this last time, we prepared the team leaders and help them to focus on the basic skills, so the essential skills in supporting and listening and questioning, and under the skill of supporting is acknowledgements. Now, like I saw in the last manual that Michael has changed it to just feeding back the sentence that your client has said. The way that I see it, and the way that it has been in the past, is that acknowledgements, which I think is at the core of supporting, is that you help your client build the story. And as you help your client build the story, you also do that for yourself. So the way that you help your client build the story is gathering information from the present state and as well from the desired state. So the way that I start to listen for that, and I keep feeding it back, but at the before you can acknowledge, and I've been thinking a lot about the notion of gathering, organizing, and managing information. And I think that's essentially where a lot of the problems arise, is that that's not a skill that we necessarily, which we should be teaching in the ACMC, is how do you gather the information and then manage it in such a way that you can, organize it in such a way that you can manage it. Mm-hmm. And that's what the present and desired state is for. I'm just going to mute the others because there's a lot of background noise. So with regard to the present and desired state, it has all these elements. And so when I'm listening to a coaching like someone sharing their stories, I listen for, are they talking about one present state and one desired state, or are they talking about, does it sound like there's several present states? So several contexts and several figures that they're talking about. It can be the same structure, but I want to make sure that, is it different? Is it the same? So I'm going to think in those kinds of terms. Then I want to know what elements do I have. And so it, by acknowledging and putting it into that story, you're helping your client figure out, like, okay, this is where I'm at, this is where I want to be. If we look at the definition of meta coaching, it's the art of facilitating to an agreed upon. So that really is, needs to be the foundation. And yes, supporting is really important, and you need to be in a know-nothing state. But you can be in a know-nothing state if you don't structure the information that you're getting. You're still going to be chasing your client's words. You still don't know which words to get clarity on. Where does it fit in the outcome that your client wants? So I think that, and obviously if there's no supporting, your client is not going to share with you. So yes, it is important. But in order to get the what, you need to be able to organize and manage the information that you're getting, and then actively doing something with that. So doing an acknowledgement, putting that into like a present and desired state, you'll get information about the steps that your client needs to take. Structuring it in that way is going to make the bigger difference. And then beyond that, I think there are certain meta programs and certain limiting beliefs that really affect your ability to collect and organize the information. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and a lot of the time when we look at the supporting and listening, I think sometimes listening and we sometimes focus on that skill first because it really affects the skill of supporting. So if you don't really listen, your supporting is not going to be that great either.
And then one more.
Yeah.
I was sitting with one of the benchmarkers yesterday.
Yeah.
And then I was going through just to get an update on how is it that we actually calculate the benchmarks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I just got a feeling that you have to hit something correct every 10 seconds without speaking more than 30% of the time in 35 minutes.
Yeah.
So I tried to do the math and that looked quite impossible.
Well, and you can actually talk more than 30%. If it drops below 30%, then you're not really doing any coaching. So 40%, 45% talking is still okay. If they're, you know, as long as you're asking questions.
Because you need to be, it has to be a high quality, whatever you do, and you have to have volume as well. So it has to be quality and volume.
Yeah.
So it won't work if you speak 30% of the time. So, and I guess that's maybe, at least for me, one of the points that I have to be daring to drive it, to facilitate it actively a bit more.
Yeah.
Instead of being a little bit reactive following the client.
Yeah.
So I have to... sort of lead facilitate more proactively than what we are maybe trained to do or what I'm used to do. It's just, you know, I'm on the hunt for cracking that code to get that technicality out of the way so I can just start making wonders instead.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Well, I think... you know, like I don't think it is, you know, having meeting something every 10 seconds. because you're doing some, a lot of the skills at the same time, and then your benchmarker needs to be able to count all of those things at the same time. Yeah. And I honestly think if you focus on that, on the structure of present state, desired state, and really get the details and ask those meta questions straight from the beginning, mm-hmm. And do your acknowledgements. Mm-hmm. My experience is that you like it gets to the core or to the heart of the matter faster. And you like it makes it easier to hit the benchmarks, and in a way the skills then follow from, how do I express that? So the skills kind of like automatically follow from doing that, rather than focusing on, oh my God, I have to do acknowledgements. If you focus on that, you're going to miss the story, and that's when you start to chase your client's words. And I think a lot of the pressure that coaches feel is that they only have 25 minutes and they have to have so many points, and that really takes away from the ability to just be present, build the story, and identify the gap, and for level 2.5, we're not like necessarily wanting you to get like the highest what, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Because that can take a while, and that requires a certain level of skill. So if you get like, you know,
a good what
and then you eventually you get to a great what.
Yeah.
So
good.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, it did.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So let's go to Hasse next. Hasse.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I have a question about it, about the same challenge of getting the what. The last coaching session with Jacques, mm-hmm. when you did the feedback, there was quite a lot of words that you said that this was unclear, many words.
Mm-hmm.
So to get the what I've noticed when I've looked at Michael is that he asks at least three times the why. Why is that important? And is that something that is important to get that what, and or to go up to the intention?
Yeah, that is a way to like generate the motivation, and it possibly gets you to a higher level what, but it can also lead you away if that's where you you tend to go immediately to kind of like, is that what we need to be talking about? So what I want you to listen for is this like where the problem is? Because at the lower level, like your client might say, oh, you know, I need to work on self-esteem. Okay. Like, so that I can feel confident. Okay. So then, why is that important to you, that you feel confident in speaking to women? I don't know. Well, that opens me up to find a significant other. Okay. Why is that important to you? Well, I don't know, like what that would mean. But going up those levels, you find like the effect that someone wants, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that is the what. It can actually be more vague. And if you can follow that, it can lead you away. But if you hear, okay, it sounds like this is where energy is, where this is where a problem is, then that's where you can test, like, is this what we need to be talking about?
Mm, yeah. And if it is like a vague feeling that, getting a significant other, oh, that would just be perfect or excellent or something like that.
Yeah.
And okay, so that's a motivation, but then we're still going to talk about the first sentence that came out.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but then you've gotten the higher motivation.
Yeah, and one of the things that so then you can say, so this is important to you because it'll open you up for a significant other. And then your client might start to talk about like, oh, then I won't feel lonely anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so then that sounds like, oh, that's interesting. So now like what he or she is saying is that they feel lonely. So is loneliness what we need to be talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So that, then we can start to ground that. So I think, as I'm talking, I think it really is about listening to, okay, what is the problem that my client is trying to solve here that they don't know, that they're not aware of. And so intentionality is one, and then meta questions early on. So if you have the present state, and ground that present state in a context, and when specifically does this happen? What is it that triggers this state? You always want like the resulting state as well. Then you can ask a few meta questions, and that might get you to the outcome.
Mm. So maybe when the next coaching session. If we have time, maybe you could after the feedback or something, kind of go through, okay, so Coach G said this and this, and how you would have, what you would have asked and how you would have done it to get the what.
Okay, yeah.
Because then it's sort of a live situation that we've already heard it or been part of it, and then you could show us sort of the right way or a better way of doing it.
Yeah, I can definitely do that.
Great. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, Jacques. You need to unmute yourself, Jacques. I see that you have your hand up.
Is it okay now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Still working on the listening skills. Femke, what can be done? What can I do that can help me to not to miss on things not heard?
That's a really good question. So let me ask you a few questions first.
Yes.
So when, like, you're talking about what can I do to not miss things not heard?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
Let's say that during a, as you said, during a conversation, there are a lot of things that are being said, and for sure that depending on your frame of mind when you enter the coaching, as someone earlier said, you could be thinking about your benchmarking or concentrating eventually on your on the coaching itself. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it happens that, and I see that, that, okay, I do catch some words where eventually I will be calling for clarity checks.
Uh-huh.
But it seems to me that I've been missing on certain words which was which were important during the coaching session and which was fed back to me thereafter. Okay. So I just wanted to understand how could I go about that.
So when you hear the when you hear back that you've missed certain things,
yes,
and you hear it back, what awarenesses do you get?
At times when the meta coach gives the benchmarker gives me the feedback, I remember those words. But let's say that at the moment that it occurred,
okay,
it seems to me that my concentration was on some other things or some other words it could be.
Okay, so you hear the words, but your concentration is on some other words.
Yes.
Okay, tell me about that concentration on those other words. And so you hear them, then what happens?
Let's say it seems that in my mind that I am already preparing the next question.
Okay.
So this is a factor that I'm a bit aware of. And also, at times when things like the other day when I was with a coach in Wyman, in fact, that I was myself unclear about the what. And this state in which I was didn't help me in catching the words that could have been heard, because I would believe that my concentration was in another place.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is that your concentration is on other words. And as you're concentrating on those, you're already preparing the next question.
It could be. At times, yeah. It could be.
And so at times, it could be that you're already preparing the next question about those other words. So it sounds like you're already committing to a path. Is that correct?
Yeah, it could be. It could be, yes.
Okay.
This is a possibility.
Okay.
I must think more about it, but it can be a possibility.
Okay. And what other possibilities are there?
I've been conducting a coaching on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I was not tired. I was rather calm. Let's say that I had time to do the coaching. And then I saw that I noticed those words. And I could also notice what were the words that were important for me to feedback to the client.
Okay. Okay. So you have, like, does that mean that you're sometimes able to do to pick up on those words?
Let's say that it seems to me that I can pick up on those words when I am in a more relaxed and calm state.
Okay. And so when you are in a more relaxed and calm state and you notice those words, what then, like, because when you are already unclear about the what, and you get into a different state, then you concentrate on different words, even though you notice the words, and you're already preparing the next question for those words.
Yeah.
So what happens instead in in a situation where
I am struggling against myself.
Okay.
I'm struggling with myself.
Okay. And so it sounds like that is stopping you from hearing the things not heard.
Yes.
You hear
yes.
them, you just don't do something with it because you're struggling against yourself.
Yes.
And I believe that's what we talked about last time as well, right? With like being comfortable with being confused or not being yeah. clear.
Yes, definitely.
And when you are relaxed and calm, then you are able to go with the words that are important.
That's one thing. And then, you know, there are certain coaching which, let's say, I tell it in my own words, let's say that are quite easy to deal with.
Okay.
But there are some others, like the one that I had with Wyman the other day, which I found, in fact, difficult to find the what. So it seems when the outcome is rather clear, I might say, for me as coach,
mm-hmm.
it goes much more smoothly than otherwise.
Okay. And so what makes a coaching more difficult?
When I do not find the what.
Okay. And in the situation with the coaching with Wyman last time,
yes.
what stopped you from finding the what?
First, it was the first time that I was doing the coaching in this way.
Okay.
And being benchmarked by you. And secondly, this type of situation where it is a conflictual situation for someone having to choose between this or that, because I had the same problem with a similar type of coaching in the ACMC.
Okay.
So let's say that then I can't find my way out of it.
Okay. And that's when you start struggling with yourself. Is that correct?
Sure. Okay. Unfortunately, I laughed about it thereafter.
Yes, that's good. I've had those moments, plenty of them.
Yeah. Oh, thank you to say that.
So, like what I'm hearing from you is that that your state is really important, being in the right state. And then also if you don't find the what immediately, and if there's like a conflict situation, if it's this or that's
yes.
you've then
yes.
you start struggling against yourself.
Yes, but let's say that after those two similar events, the one that I had in the CMC and mm-hmm. the one with Wyman,
yeah.
let's say that I started to work on it. And in fact, Hasse was telling you earlier, it mm-hmm. would be one day when this is possible. But for instance, for such type of coaching, but you do the coaching and we see, or rather we hear, how do you go about it?
Yeah. Yeah. And like I can certainly do that. We can do that next time.
Yes, thank you.
One of the things also that I'm hearing, and in the case with Wyman also, like that I'm thinking about. So yes, I think in what you've just shared, I think your the state is really important. And I think also a lot of the time when we get confused, we don't have that permission to be confused. And the confusion leads to overwhelm, which then means that struggle that we are going to struggle against ourselves. I'm sure that others can relate to that as well. At least I can. And then rather than getting to a place where we can ask questions to get clear and knowing, hey, I have a structure. And so like if as long as I am unable to put it in the structure, then I need to ask more questions. And I can find that peace. Like that's what for me now, I can find that peace in myself to give myself the time and space to and the calmth, if you will, to just ask questions. Because one of the things in the session that you did with Wyman is that you stopped asking clarity questions, which is what I notice a lot. If people get confused, rather than bringing it down to an example or a detailed information, especially if someone is already more options and global oriented, then we start following that. And yeah. So, like what helps then is taking a meta moment. So what's going on here, taking a step back, and noticing what is my client doing? Are they in the state right now? And I think also like, if you already have like a think of a direction that it's going to go in, then, and you already set up your next question, or you think, you know, you have ideas of what someone should be doing or should be thinking, or then your judgments really get in the way.
Yes.
Which makes it difficult. And then there's the case of, which I also notice a lot, is not listening for, okay, at what level is my client operating? So we get sucked into the content and have opinions about that, and we're unable to like take it to the next, to a meta level. And being the ability to go meta is really critical in finding the what.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Femke.
And sometimes, like, I recently, in the last, like, couple of months ago, I had a client, and gosh, like, it was challenging. And I remember actually talking to, telling my mom, I said, I've got a coaching client and I'm really struggling with it. Which like it doesn't happen so often anymore. But in retrospect, I realized that she, and I had mentioned this to her, but she wasn't ready for it. And in retrospect, I think she should have done more therapy. But she believed in her belief so much that I started to get confused if she should be like, maybe she should be believing in those beliefs. So, you know, like if we have those kinds of thoughts in the back of our mind, it just makes it more difficult to go meta, because we get sucked into the content more rather than into a know nothing, open state.
Yes.
Did that help? Like,
yeah, sure.
What is your takeaway? Like, for, because you started the question with, oh, I want to know, like to get to the things not heard. What you've discovered for like your own coaching sessions now.
Yeah, one thing that I discovered is that what you said, the state is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes, for sure, you are tired. You are tired yourself, and you are not really in the right state or even frame of mind when you are doing your coaching. And I'm getting more and more aware of that.
Yeah.
And then what I've been saying to myself, coaching is a journey.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to learn. I have to take time.
Yeah.
I have to patient with myself.
Yep, absolutely.
If this has been missed, okay, that's fine. In the world, there are people like you who would eventually facilitate the learning. So I just have to ask, and I let's say that I can now allow myself time to grow.
Good. I like hearing that, and I think that is a really critical part. Is that it also just takes time and practice and getting quality feedback. One of the things that I've learned is that, like what I said to Victoria earlier, yes, you know, like get a good watt rather than focusing on getting like wanting to get the great watt, because that might actually put too much pressure on, and then you get not into the right state. I got an email from one of my clients the other day, and he said, well, when I'm in your coaching sessions, like I have clarity, I know what to do, but then I go out in the real world and it doesn't, like it's not working. And then he feels despair, because then he has a belief like, oh, it's never going to work. And I realized that I hadn't pre-framed this with him, that it's not going to be necessarily like a quick fix. He's been doing this for 20 years. He needs to have practice, and he is going to go back to his old responses. And but it also allowed me to organically figure out what he needs for the next session. And that's why like my client has a certain awareness when we start, and as he starts to implement the work that we have done, more awareness is going to come up. Yes. So then we get closer to what we need to be working on. So when my client says, oh, it didn't work, okay, great. So what didn't work? Then we know what we need to be working on. So also, as you go through your coaching sessions, you get to a higher level.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so let's do some other questions. Victoria, and then we'll go to Dennis.
Yes, I think it's just a short one. I've heard you say several times, on what level is my client operating? And I'm not sure that I understand it.
Okay, so what I notice, and I always use this example, but like if your client says, I want clarity on a plan, then it's clarity about a plan that my client wants, not a plan. And what I notice a lot is that then my coaches start to ask about the plan rather than the clarity. And so being able to listen for, oh, now we're leveling up, going to a next level. Now my client is talking about, so as I'm saying like, to Hasse, okay, so then like as I ask the why questions, we get to the loneliness, and then I need to then be able to figure out, okay, loneliness is at a higher level, and then I want to test that with my client. Is this what we need to be talking about? And if you don't pick that up, then you might be starting to work on the wrong thing. And so being able to listen, this is at a higher level, meta level, that drives the other problem. So I've got a problem, and behind that is another problem that drives the problem. If I solve that problem that my client is talking about now is going to be solved.
So when you talk about operating, then you talk about, where am my client right now in what he or she is talking about?
Yes.
On what level are they at right now?
Yeah.
It's because when I think about operating, it's like what level are they on for a certain amount of time or in general. So that's where I went wrong.
Oh, okay. You like, are you talking about benchmarking or?
No, it was just it didn't really it didn't sit with me. So it was just to get it right. So okay. It is to listen for the highest level in order to facilitate the change all the way down.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And as you go higher up, so what we know about beliefs or like the structure of a state is that as we go higher up, that drives all those lower levels.
Yeah.
And so if we grab that, so.
Got it. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you. Dennis. I'll just unmute you. Hi, Dennis.
Oh, hi. Here I am raving away to myself. I just wanted to reflect back on your comment around the difficult client that you had and that in reflection, she may needed to have done something else like therapy. So sometimes I struggle with, are clients actually ready for coaching? Or if they come with resistance, I've had a client recently that actually was quite resistant to being here. That came up in the first session. So second session tackled the thing around resistance. On my understanding that as a coach, if they're coachable, then it's our job to get through the resistance, to get them motivated to change. But I wonder, at what point do you make, you know, either a decision or an assessment that a person is coachable or not? And what are the indicators around whether a person is coachable or not?
Yeah. One thing that I know, and that has been my learning, is that I'm like okay to do confronting. With her, I did some confronting. But I noticed that I had a fear of actually coming out and saying, because I mentioned this several times, I said, so like, what is the quality of this belief? Like, well, it doesn't really serve me, but, and she like would go off. And I like at some point said, it sounds like your dedication to believing this is, and she has like, and that's like a pattern of her, is that really stops her from changing. And so I mentioned that, but I did not have the permission in myself to really confront her at her willingness or her to look at that and her willingness to change. Like, if you're going to be married to this belief, then there's nothing that we can do.
Yeah.
And I did not have that permission to say that.
From yourself internally?
In myself, yes.
So is that an internal indicator that this person isn't ready?
I think that was an internal indicator for me to take my skills to the next level. So like I'm gonna answer your question, but I need to run out. My son is screaming, so I have to run out real quick and calm him down. I'll be just there 1 minute.
Okay, I'm back.
Hey.
So you're going to hear him in the background. He's slightly fussy. Yeah. So, like you asked Dennis, at what point, do you make that determination that a person is not coachable? Like, mostly I do that right at the beginning. And I check, am I able to, make confrontations? Respond to that? Do they have self-reflection? So I check those kinds of things. And if they're not able, then I might say, maybe you need to go through training first. So APG I think is a really great training. And that's actually something that you can offer if you have if you've done the trainer's training. But even if you've have gone through the APG several times, you can take someone else through it.
Right. Okay.
Helps them, because sometimes it's just a case of not having an ability to reflect and to understand, hey, I'm creating my own meanings. So then you can make an offer to take them through some of the APG patterns. In a case where there's where they start very early on, and I've had that several times, where they there's a lot of blaming going on, and if you feed that back to them and they don't respond to it, then I would say refer them on to someone else.
Right.
Because it's going to eventually they're going to blame you. And I've had that two or three times where, I had the signs right from the beginning, but they were talking about someone else and something being done to them rather than wanting to take things into, their own hands and getting, to a place of responsibility. So that's blaming is a good indicator that you have to be very careful. You can make them aware of it if they don't respond, by saying, oh yeah, that's what I need to be working on. Then, you want to refer them on.
So is that one of the responses that would say to you that you're not able to challenge?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I've had that happen, even in the sales process. I've had one person, and it was actually a pro bono deal. And just so much in a victimhood that when I didn't respond fast enough, he completely just went off the deep end and he was going to report me, and I could have known right from the first introductory session that he was too much in a victim mode.
Right.
That's really listening for cognitive distortions.
Okay.
Yeah. And the situation that I explained, I didn't know that right from the beginning, because she seemed to be very willing to look at herself. But when we hit those higher frames, I think it was just my fear of doing taking my confrontations to another level. So that's something that for me is my learning to take my skills to the next.
Right. Yeah. Is there any sort of assessment that can be done before you even get into the coaching, before you even sign them up? Or is it actually about that happening in the first session?
It was like, you mean before you even have a meeting with them, or?
Before you get to the point, I suppose, of signing up into a coaching contract with them.
There's like a checklist in the MetaCoach manual that you can go through. I don't exactly know, it's somewhere in the back of the manual. There's a checklist. Is it in the back? No, it's in the front.
I think it's in the front. Flexible?
So that's all we have for right now.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, some people would be obvious. It's those other ones, like as you're talking about, someone that presents well. But when you actually get into the session, I had a person who was resistant to being here. So that came up in the first session, and that was what I challenged in the second. And even though she said no, she'd gotten over that, I don't think she actually had.
Yeah. So testing that. And it's also okay to find out after a few sessions, as long as you then not do like me and shy away from confrontation.
Right.
So.
Yep. Okay.
Yep.
Yep. Cool. Thank you.
Cool. All right. So, Hasse.
Hello again.
Hello.
Hello. You hear me?
Yep. I do. Yep.
I have a question about what you said about getting an okay what?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems, well, in my case, I was coached and I started by saying that I don't know exactly what I want to be coached on, but I want to be able to plan ahead and sort of get control over time.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it is about planning or if it's about over responsibility. I have too much things that I don't want to put anything else on the calendar, or why I don't follow through. So when the coach started to coach me and she went through the why is it important and all these things, but when she got down I think it's about that she didn't get the what. And when she came to, so what do you have to do? Or so then it stops.
Yeah.
it seems that if you don't get the right what, it will stop once you go down the funnel. And I've seen that quite a few times that when get asked these questions, you can't, or the coach, she can't answer them.
Right, absolutely. And I think, part of getting an outcome is most clients don't know what specifically they need to work on in the session. So you have a certain outcome, you want to plan ahead, and you don't know what is exactly in the way of being able to do that. And part of the client's or the coach's, how do I say that? The coach's task or responsibility is to help you gain awareness so that you can eventually answer, so what is it that you need to do? And a lot of the time, because we want to go down that funnel, we ask that question way too early. And then you either get solutions that are externally oriented because there hasn't been enough awareness, or you don't know how to answer that question. So I always say you need to first do the collecting and gathering of information and structure it in present state, desired state, create the gap. And then you need to help your client get awareness of, okay, so this is what's going on. Now, what is it that we need to be working on, and what is it that you need to do in order to get from A to B?
Right, so that will happen if you get into that present state, or how are you doing not planning in my case?
Exactly. Yeah. It is getting that clarity.
Okay. Yeah. So then what, because what I wanted was, to be able to plan. And that's what I wanted. But as you said, I didn't know what to work on. But then, if I understand correctly, if you go through that present state and gauge it and how do you experience it, then that would have clarified it for me.
Yes. But, well, and in a way, you always start with a clarity conversation in a coaching session.
Mm-hmm.
So that your client gets clarity on what is it specifically that we need to be working on. And so that is something that the coach does need to follow. And then, and what I meant with like getting an okay what or a good what is that that the client has a sense of like, okay, if we work on this, then I'm going to get a step closer to my outcome.
Mm. No, I see that. So the what I've, you know, I think I've picked up at least is that the importance of gauging both present state and desired state.
Yeah.
Get that intention up to why is it important?
Yeah.
And when you get that without getting drawn into the content. I had that with when Jacques was coaching as well. He gets when she said what she wanted, I was like, okay, that could do this and that. And then I'm already out of it.
Yeah.
Because that will just lead my questions into something that I think is the answer.
Exactly. Yeah. And I had that. I was listening to a coaching session the other day, and a lot of the time, that is exactly what happens. Like, oh, I think, oh, this is where we should be going, and the way to kind of like steer clear of that is to ask meta questions and grounding questions right from the beginning. So the session that I was listening to, it was about this. The client had a like to-do list at the beginning of the week of 125 things to do, and he had these areas that he committed to in his life. And like early on, one of the questions that he asked himself is, should I cut some things loose? And the coach had decided or thought like, oh, this is about wanting to control everything. And so that's where his questions were leading. And I then stopped him and I said, right in the first 2 minutes, he mentioned that question. That's what he was asking. That's part of the present state is, should I cut something loose? And rather than saying like, okay, this is about control, how about asking meta question? And then when he asked a meta question about that, it ended up being about wanting to fulfill his commitments. And it was completely, and that's the thing. Sometimes we don't know what is driving it. And that's Victoria, also what I meant with going up, like listening for the levels. It's what is driving someone's present state? What is driving someone's problem? And listening.
So what question or what meta question did he ask?
The question that the client was asking is, should I cut something loose? And then I had him ask, what do you believe about cutting certain things loose that creates a problem for you? And then he said, well, and then he got into like a story about like how he always wants to fulfill his commitments, and he made all of these commitments, and he is unable to attend to everything. And so then that allowed that, if you listen to that, being unable to attend to everything, and he's talking about, I want to fulfill my commitments. Essentially what he's saying is that he's unable, by wanting to hold on to all of his commitments, he's unable to fulfill his commitments. And then I can make a confrontation there that could have been done like right at the beginning.
So I was coaching the other day, and the thing is, he said, I want to get better marketing for his coaching business. And I, you know, instantly, it's not better marketing. You want more clients, or you want more better economy, or something else. And I managed to not lead it. And I asked, okay, so where are you at right now?
Yeah.
And gauged that. And okay, so, and then present state, what do you want? And gauged that. And then when I went up those, the three whys, then why is that important? Then he came instantly with the, well, better economy or sustainable business, and, you know, work for myself. So then that came up, but I didn't go back to, oh, is this what we're going to talk about? But that was just his motivation for starting to go down the funnel with the marketing. But I was wondering about when he says the word better, because that's like a sort of, is it a nominalization?
Well, yeah, like I would have, like, if someone says, I want to be better at marketing, so what specifically do you mean with better at marketing?
Yeah.
And like, in what I'm hearing you say is, yes, ultimately he wants to get more clients and he wants to get a stable economy. But those are effects.
Mm-hmm.
And so if his solution is better at marketing, we don't know yet if that really is the case. So we want to ask exploring questions. And we also want to know, being better at marketing, better than what? Where that means, it means that right now he feels like it's not at a good enough level. So you want to get an idea of like better, like getting clarity on better and getting clarity on marketing.
So you would have, I thought I got that from asking him, okay, so where are you at right now with marketing? And yeah. I think he gave it at a three or something.
Yeah, like, but, and I know then that he's at a three, but I still don't know what marketing means to him.
Mm. So that you would first have clarified that word better, and how does he know when it's better or?
Yeah, what specifically do you mean with better at marketing?
Yeah.
And then you can also give a few examples so that you can really understand like what is his problem really. Because it might be that when he talks about better at marketing, in the back of his mind, he's thinking about like being afraid of talking to people. And that's what you need to be talking about.
Mm, yeah. Okay. So, and then you would gauge it after that, after you clarify that word.
Yeah. Like it makes it easier because there's actually something to gauge, something specific.
Yeah.
But you can also do it beforehand, as long as then you, okay, so we're at a level three. Like what makes you say that? Like, so you can, like, it's not, there's not like just one way, one, you know, right way, but exploration questions and clarity questions are really important first, and then meta questions to really get an understanding of, well, what makes him say that this is what he wants.
Okay. Yeah, because I was yeah, I've been thinking about that word better and marketing, because I kind of saw that when I would come down the funnel, about the marketing, that what actions and with whom and where that would come up, what he meant about better marketing, you know?
Yeah. So where, when, and with whom questions, like initially, like before I go down the funnel, I just get more information, ask exploration questions and clarity checks of words, so that that already allows us to get closer to, and obviously like VAK and where, when, and with whom are going to get to clarity as well.
Yeah, but that's good. Then I know that first, you know, the first sentence they come with to really, really sort of get it down on paper and have a second look at it and clarify those words what do you call the meta model?
Yes.
Questions, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And that, a lot of the time, leads you to a lot.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, so Dennis.
Yes.
What questions do you have?
I asked my question.
Oh, okay. So I thought you'd put your hand up again. I guess I didn't lower it yet.
okay.
All right. So then are there any other questions? Okay, so if there are no more questions, then like as we've been talking, I think like I got a lot of information also through your questions, and also through questioning Jacques about like getting a little bit closer, Victoria, to cracking the code. And so what I'm going to do, not this week, but next week, is I'm going to listen to our conversation and pick out the things that are part of being able to figure out or grabbing hold of the what, and write something up about that and share that with you. And hopefully that, will help make the learning a little bit easier, and also make it easier for you to make a decision on, okay, this is what I need to do in order to get to the next level. And also always realize that sometimes in order to develop a skill, obviously it's practice, but it can also be that you need to stretch a meta program, or that there's something else getting in the way of applying that skill. So like Jacques said, if you start struggling with yourself and you're not comfortable with being unclear in the beginning, then the focus starts to be on you. And I've noticed that a lot with when the client is very unclear, what happens is that they're not grounded, and they use a lot of nominalizations to then have the patience and to just like ask your clarity questions and still be able to be calm and relaxed as you're asking the questions. Your state is just really important there as well. So for the others who, you know, Hasse and Dennis and Victoria and Wyman, for you to kind of go inside yourself and like when you are in a coaching conversation, what is your state? Is there like what might be stopping you from asking the questions? And that might be just a skill, but it also may be your inner game that is getting in the way. Okay, so next time we will, like what we can do is I can share an example, or someone can start coaching. And if we notice that, because like the idea was like to pick something where there's like a challenge to ground the conversation, then I can take over. So either way, we will focus on that next time. Okay, so thank you for participating today. I'm going to put the recording online, and I will, I look forward to having you on the call next time. All right, thanks everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.